Okay, looks like it's 5:30. Got quite a few attendees in here. Are we good to get started?
I am good. Is all of the PDC contingent on?
I believe so. Yep.
Yep, I'm here, Brad.
All right. Well, I guess we'll get started then. If anybody's on the phone or doesn't know who I am, I'm Brad Ryan. I'm the Skagway Borough Manager, and we're here to talk about the Skagway Port Master Plan that we have been working with PDC engineers on. To start with, I'd like to thank PDC for their efforts on this. It's been great working with them so far, and if they could just pop up and introduce themselves so we know what their expertise is and who they are, that'd be great.
Okay. Thanks, Brad, for the introduction. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Mark Pusage. I'm a principal civil engineer with PDC Engineers in our Juneau office. I've been practicing civil engineering, land development, site planning for 35 years now, and many, many of those years with your wonderful community in Skagway, and appreciate being able to serve your community, and we appreciate the opportunity to prepare this port plan tonight. And with that said, I'll turn it over to Pat Cotter, who is our, and he can introduce himself.
Yep. Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Brad. I'm Patrick Cotter. I'm PDC's lead planner. I'm up here in Fairbanks and have worked on waterfront plans in Skagway and Hoonah, and I've hiked the Chilkoot Trail, so I've been to the community a few times there, and excited about hearing folks' comments tonight. And I'll turn it over to Alex London.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for coming. My name is Alex London. I'm a planner at PDC. I've been with PDC for 4 years, and I did a lot of the modeling and SketchUp for this project.
Hey, and I am Natalie Lyon. I'm another planner at PDC Engineers, and I'm based up in Fairbanks. And I worked pretty closely on the wayfinding concepts for this project and coordinating public engagement. So thank you all for attending tonight. And I guess I will send it back over to Brad to kick us off on the presentation here.
All right. I just want to make sure if you're on, please keep your microphones muted. And if we could, unless it's really pressing, we could hold comments until the end, and we can pop back through the slides as need. So if you want to kick off to the next slide there.
And did want to note, this presentation is going to be recorded as of now. So anyone who doesn't attend today can come back and check it out. All right.
So we're here. We're talking about the port master planning and the goals here. We've got a project timeline, the elements of the plan, the existing project area, and existing land use. I think it's important to remember where this project started. This project started with a grant from the cruise ship passenger vessel tax money, and it was intended to mitigate the impacts of COVID on cruise ship passengers and the community. So you'll see a strong focus on the cruise ship side of the port, and that will be to impact those COVID-19 impacts to cruise ship passengers, as I mentioned. You also see the other side of the port, which is the industrial side, not nearly as developed. It's more of a placeholder and less concepts drawn beyond placeholders for the industrial side of the port. That's the first part of this. Then we wanted to develop the concepts, and to do that, we used our staff, we used PDC. They went through the past documents, and they engaged stakeholders and the public. And so now we have some concepts to put forward, and we can go on to the next slide. This is the timeline of the project. It started in October, initial outreach. We had a design charrette in November, December. We refined some concepts from that. Now we're here at the master plan presentation, the first one, really. And now we'll take that feedback from this presentation and put it into and update our concepts in February and March. You see, we have a march there, compile the master plan document, and as well a phase one shoreline park bids. And that is, you'll see as we go through this, the aspect of the project that we believe we can put in the ground with the grant deadline. And it's important to remember this grant deadline is it has to be completed by June 30th. So the funds have to be expended and completed by June 30th. So that's why this project is phased for phase one there. We'll do another, in April, hopefully we'll be out for construction for phase one and another public event, the final one. We'll move on with this project. We're going to continue and I want to talk about phase two. We have some ideas to do construction of phase two, which could be the shoreline bathroom if the community is on board with that. You see in June, hopefully, as I mentioned, June 30th, we'll be complete with phase one. And in September, October, if the community's on board and funding becomes available, which I will talk about later, which is the geo bond potentially, would be to construct utilities going out the Ferry Peninsula Road, providing utilities into the small boat harbor and maybe down the peninsula, depending on how the negotiations and go with the AMHS. So the elements that we evaluated, parking, access, circulation, pedestrian paths and routes, that really fell in and is important for the COVID mitigation to separate people, not have crowding, have people pass by each other without being too close in light of COVID-19. We looked at the current and future land use of the docks and green spaces and parks. So this is a project area, existing land use, and the project area is the marine port of Skagway. You'll see on this map the historic district and the airport. That's not part of the project scope, but this is just an overview of where we're at. Most of us are familiar, but if anybody's not, you'll know. So going into this, there we had some goals in here. You know, one of the initial goal here is the separation of uses, industrial from tourism. So we have a west side, which is industrial docks, and then the east side is the tourism docks. So you can look on here, and you can see AML moved over into the industrial port. They used to be right at the end of the Broadway dock area, and now they'd be moved over next to Petro Marine. We also wanted to maintain uses for Petromarine and AML. They're our long-term partners. We'd like to move forward with, you know, agreements and getting them secure in there to support the community. Also, we wanted to expand the tour parking access and the circulation area. So that's where you see where AML used to be and the tour staging pickup area is highlighted now. That's increased parking and circulation and access. And then we have some new docks in here. We have the row facility for Alaska Marine Lines. That's obviously not designed or developed, but those are discussions we're having with AML, and that would put them in line with their operations throughout Southeast. We're also discussing a Ferry Peninsula AMHS shared facility down on the end of the Ferry Peninsula dock. So one of the highlights here is restrooms and accessibility from each dock. That's been a discussion since I've been here in Skagway. And it also fell right in line with the grant requirements to mitigate COVID-19. So increased restroom facilities, increased waiting passenger shelters so that there's more room for people to spread out. And so here's a highlight of some potential increased restroom areas, shelter areas, throughout the Port of Skagway. Um, another discussion we've had even prior to this grant was getting a standard restroom facility for the port. And so here is a standard layout for the restroom facility, hopefully in the port, that we can duplicate throughout. It has a flexible floor plan, allows for social distancing. Now we learned from some of our mistakes in some of the other restroom facilities, so we have a utility chase to get in, and we're able to shut down half of each of these restrooms to clean and maintain them. I want to move on now to the Broadway dock and the Upland existing conditions. The stakeholder outreach and feedback from staff. This is the end of the Broadway dock, and what we heard is it's chaotic, it's cramped, confusing. Passengers are exposed to the wind, pedestrian and vehicle conflicts, need for an improved smart stop, consider the bus and the train for transfers. So this is where we started, and then we went down to look and see how we could improve this. And with this feedback, this is what PDC kind of came up with. I like it. This is contingent on AML moving over to the industrial side of the port. But this eliminates the need to back out buses. We heard quite a bit of feedback on that. The buses should be able to enter from State Street and exit on the Broadway. Increased the vehicle and pedestrian capacity for two large ships. Designated motor coach and small tour vehicle staging areas. Obviously, there's improved turning movements here. Improved pedestrian routes. There's a waiting shelter for the train. Restrooms and visitor information center. So this would be a big improvement for the end of the Broadway dock area. And this is essentially a ground view, looking at what it might look like. You see the waiting shelter by the train on the top there, information stations. You see looking down or back towards south towards the ship is the other direction with the vehicle staging, and then just a little bit of a low-flying bird's-eye view here, looking down on some of the vegetation and the improvements that could happen down at the end of the Broadway dock. From the Broadway dock, we moved on to the Ferry Peninsula. We've been working with the Alaska Marine Highway System for quite a while to see if we could use the Ferry Peninsula to expand our cruise ship capacity and use of that peninsula. That appears to be moving forward, and this shows a conceptual design of a shared dock coming off the end of the Ferry Peninsula there. It would be shared with the AMHS ferry and a cruise ship. We've reached out to the Pilots Association as well. There's been some concerns about coming in, and so we're having good conversations with the pilots about this, and we've reached out to the simulator to see if we can get some simulations done on this to see how this would impact cruise ships coming into both the Broadway dock and the Ferry Peninsula if we built this, and potentially what kind of wind conditions we wouldn't be able to come in on this, or not we, but the pilots wouldn't be able to bring their ships in on this. And those conversations seem to be going really positively with both groups. So this is the existing conditions of the Upland Ferry Peninsula. And so with the shared facility off the end, we went down looking at the conceptual design of what the Ferry Peninsula might look like. So here is a conceptual design of what it might look like. At the end of the southern end of the peninsula there, you see a small restroom and a smart bus pickup. As you move back, we have the AMHS vehicle staging. We didn't want to interfere with loading at all of the ferry, so we didn't have the buses go down and around all the way to the end of the peninsula. Instead, we have them looping short, and there's a restroom and a waiting facility there so that we don't impact the vehicle loading or pedestrian loading and offloading of the ferry system. I would say as we go along, whether we got all of this in place, or even if we had a smaller dock and we didn't even get the big shared facility, if we got a sea walk around the peninsula and an improved smart bus and restroom down on the end and a new smaller dock even, this would be a big lift for the Ferry Peninsula and hopefully the municipality picking up the cost on maintaining this in the future would ensure that the ferry system will continue to come, or help ensure that the ferry system will continue to come to Skagway. This is just some other ideas down there. You can see the rectangular shelter on the left of the image here. A close-up of it down there. Another idea that was presented is a circular shelter. Both ideas look pretty sharp. They're just some conceptual ideas as we move on to think about what we might want to see down at the Ferry Peninsula. So one of the things that has always struck me since I've been here is there's no seawalk or trail along the waterfront, and I think it's something that would be a really nice amenity for the community, as well as for route finding for the people visiting the community that don't necessarily know how to get back to their ships or get a little bit confused. And so you can see there's a dark line that starts over. It's a small boat harbor, and there's some green lines that go all the way around and bring it around the Ferry Peninsula, over in front of the Broadway dock, and head over towards Yacatania Point. And then we have a nice seawalk detail down here in the right corner of what it might look like. I think this could be a really nice addition to our waterfront. Here is an overview of the trails and signage, and I'm going to let Natalie take over and provide some details on the trails and signage.
All right, thanks, Brad. All right, so this map on the left here, you'll see that we've come up with a wayfinding concept that has three main elements, and those are the dock gateway element, the pedestrian kiosk, and the pedestrian guide. And you can see that these are kind of laid out along the waterfront where we think each type would go. We've got some details here on kind of the design rationale behind these. And so basically we were able to develop this concept based on feedback that we got from the community at the November Design Charrette. So both the in-person and the online version. And residents and stakeholders are really clear that they wanted to see wayfinding that did three things. So that would be to improve passengers' abilities to kind of independently navigate between town and the waterfront, to reflect Skagway's natural and human history, including both the Gold Rush and Native language history and culture. And then they also wanted to see wayfinding that utilizes natural and rustic materials and is reflective of kind of an outdoorsy aesthetic and the natural environment of Skagway. So we developed this based on those ideas, and you'll see that there's some details here that were captured, such as the signboard. You know, it was inspired by the roofline of the historic district and the AB Hall. We imagine the pedestrian kiosks to have a large map, and then these elements to have enough room for some interpretive panels where you could integrate local history and the native language and culture piece onto these signs. So the kind of tapered dark wood poles here were inspired by railroad ties and then Gold Rush era tools such as the signage shape itself and how it's kind of floating between the poles was inspired by kind of the signs of early Broadway and what you see in the historic district now. And then we tried to integrate in natural resources reflective of Skagway, so the copper patina brackets here do that. And we've also got some color themes here that were developed from the natural and wildlife resources prevalent in Skagway. So we also put some thought into, a sidewalk stamping sort of piece to go along with the wayfinding to help passengers get, back and forth from town to the waterfront. And so this was building upon work of the Public Safety Committee. you'll see option one here on the left is, simple shapes and colors that can be painted or stamped into the sidewalk to get people to and from where they need to go. We took that one step further and developed some kind of icons that take an element from each dock or an element of Skagway's history or culture and kind of use those to indicate the path between the waterfront and downtown. So we imagine each of these stencils are shapes being about 1.5 feet to 2 feet square, and that's something that could be, painted on the sidewalk each season just to test it out, see how it goes, and then down the road potentially, made more permanent or continue to be painted. And I will turn it back over to Brad to talk about the phasing involved in this project.
So at this point, we've kind of gone over the big picture of where we're at to date on the Port of Skagway master planning. I want to talk about now the phases, and one of the reasons I wanted to see phasing is when this funding came around from the COVID relief funding, I wanted to make sure that we could put something on the ground, and as we did the master planning, we would have potential projects to check off that were agreed upon by the community and funded from an agreeable funding source. So phase one, the COVID relief grant funding, Shoreline Park, utilities, the grass, the gravel path, the rail, safety improvements. So you can see that up there in the green, and that is the grant funding that needs to be expended by June 30th. Phase two potentially could be 2A, a Shoreline Park restroom facility. You see that in the R and the orange box there. I'm working now with the bonding agency to see if we could use our GO bond that we have that we haven't utilized yet for that. Phase 2B potentially is the extension to the Ferry Peninsula and the small boat harbor area. And again, I am working with the bonding agency to see if we can use the bonding for that. Phase 3 is the AML move to the new location or to the industrial port. And to develop the Broadway tour staging area. While this, I know, can't happen physically until 2023, there's a lot that could happen between now and then. Lease agreements could be drawn up to move AML. Designs could be put in place, permitting. So while the physical work wouldn't happen in the near future, it certainly, there's a lot of paperwork and details to be handled before that happens in 2023 or potentially happens. And lastly, the Poland RV park expansion, flexible phasing. I put this in here and I'll talk about it later, but primarily I want to talk about the small boat harbor and hopefully freeing up the space from the storage of the connexes and starting to use that area for a higher use. So we can move on to phase one. So here's phase one, the Shoreline Park utilities upgrades. So the blue and orange dashed lines are water and sewer. They would run down Spring Street, cross over into the grassy field down there in Shoreline Park, and run over towards the future location for a restroom. There's also irrigation piped off of this so that we can develop this into the future. There's a safety wooden fence drawn into this along the railroad, and then just grading this to a nice level field and putting grass on it. If we got this done, that would then leave it open for the welcome garden and future plans for the grassy area. Getting it all sloped and into a nice lawn is really just a byproduct of having dug it all up already and having equipment down there. The primary effort here is to get the utilities in, and this, we can go to the next slide. You can see what it might look like from the ground view. So this is the idea. I'm looking, obviously, from looking south. Here's the grassy lawn. It's a gravel path that would come through there, and you'd have a short 3-foot fence. We've been talking with White Pass about this, and and they like the idea of a short fence that leaves good visual sight, but also a physical barrier to keep people from just walking anywhere onto the tracks. So we can move on to phase two. So phase one is something that we have funding secure for. Phase two, potentially 2A, is the construction of a restroom facility. This could be potentially the GO bond, and I have a conversation tomorrow to find out if it's within the bond. And if the community and the assembly is on board with this, this is a project that could be out to bid this summer and completed after the utilities were put in. And this would be a nice upgrade. I've heard a lot of need for increased restroom facilities down in our port, and this would be the first one of those restrooms that I presented earlier that could be the standard throughout the port escape. Phase 2B, this is the Ferry Peninsula and Harbor Utilities. You can see the light green line coming down and then going around the current boat maintenance facility for the municipality of Skagway, coming to the end of the small boat harbor area and then going out the Ferry Peninsula. This is another project that we would hope could be funded by the GO bond, and we're exploring that now. We could do this project primarily down to the end of the small boat harbor yard, where you see a little bit of an oval green there. That's the pump station or the lift station. And then if negotiations went well with the AMHS, potentially we could take it all the way down the peninsula. And this would be a project that we could bid out this late summer, fall, and have the procurement and all the submittals taken care of, and then construction in the summer of, or spring of 2022, hopefully. So this is phase three. This is AML and moving over to the industrial port area and developing the end of the Broadway tour staging area. I mentioned it earlier that this obviously couldn't happen physically until 2023, but there's plenty of things that we can put in place to help make this happen. After, you know, we could expedite this process. We're already in the middle of looking at the contamination on the north side of the current ore building. We have Cox Environmental doing a review of DEC's institutional controls and requirements so that we know what is required in that area. And we could be moving forward with potential lease, and AML could be moving forward with designs or permitting for a new facility if we decide that's where we want them to go. And at the same time, we could continue to work towards refining the ground transportation area for the Broadway dock. And I mentioned this is kind of a flexible phasing. So here's the small boat harbor. One idea is to expand the pole and RV park. And to me, this is really about moving the containers out of the small boat harbor and using it for a higher use. Whether that's the expansion of the pole and RV park, recently positive I'm going to get another proposal for some use down here. But the idea being that this is a pretty high dollar area that could be used for something that might bring business to town or better utilize the waterfront. The RV park expansion could be something as simple as what we do over in the area where the boats are kind of hemmed in by the green, where there isn't really any hookups per se, but they could park in there until we had a better use for it. And with that, that pretty much concludes the presentation. So we have Natalie controlling team. So if you want to type something into the chat and ask a question or clarification, please do that, and she can run through those. After we've taken care of that, we can move on to the phone participants. And you can see down below there's the Port of Skagway at skagway.org, and we're already getting emails about comments that we'll take into consideration, and we'll respond to those emails as well as we go through this. And I'm not sure that I remember how long we're going to leave it open, but we'll have to make some decisions on that. So, Natalie, if you want to start with the chat questions, maybe you can read them and we can either answer them or take them under consideration.
Yep, let me just scroll through here and see what we've got.
Sounds good.
Thanks, so got a couple comments here. Looks like we had an issue with the screen for a second, but that got fixed. Let's see. Starting at the top, so we have someone commenting that they don't see a wave barrier for the berthing of a ship on an extended ferry peninsula. Something to consider there. And then comment on the, I believe, the Broadway upland access and circulation concept, the round area where two rows of vans drop off at Broadway would be a pedestrian nightmare as vans and buses load on the right-hand side. So concern about visitors standing and gathering en masse in that area. So things we need to consider for Broadway access and circulation there. Another participant asking, will we see the public comments that have been submitted so far? Might hand that off to someone from MLS.
I don't believe, we're not going to present them during this format, but I think we can make all those comments public when it's complete.
All right. Another question. In regards to the additional restrooms, what will be done to upgrade the treatment sewage plant to accommodate this, and what will that cost? Do we have someone from MLS or maybe engineering?
I can address the first I want to go back to the wave barrier. Right now we don't have a wave barrier planned off the end of the dock. We're in conceptual design, and if that was deemed necessary, we would have to address it. So I think we'll do some modeling first, and then obviously if we're going to move forward, we'll have some more detailed engineering on that. I appreciate the feedback on the vans, and that's something we need to consider. As the sewage plant, we are in the middle of engaging HDR for a sewage plant upgrade based on the number of tourists that were coming here in 2019, which was, you know, about a million. And we were going to need to do some sewer plant upgrades, and we had those planned, at least conceptually. We had some ideas on what to do with that. Now that we don't know how many cruise ship passengers are coming, we're waiting, and we're working with the EPA for 301H as well before we do any of those upgrades. So I don't think the increased bathrooms per se will increase the impact to the municipality, because I believe it's already there. It probably will just relocate it to some of the restrooms down there.
All right, thanks, Brad. Another question here about, okay, so given the need to replace both Orr Dock and Broadway Dock, is the proposed new AMHS and shared cruise ship dock an additional dock, so that ultimately MLS would own three docks?
The Ferry Peninsula Dock is an additional dock. The intent was to move away from the cruise ships coming into the Orr Dock and going, having them come into the Broadway Dock and the Ferry Peninsula.
All right, and then another question, will you be sending out a questionnaire on this design similar to what was sent out to collect public feedback for the last design? And I think I can probably speak to this. So I think for this round, any comments on the design, you can send them to portofskagway@skagway.org. So that is our method of collecting any feedback at this stage, as well as your comments today. And yeah, so at this time, no additional survey is planned for this round. Another comment on the wave barrier, a clarification, I think. The wave barrier already exists and is not accounted for in our slides, so thank you for clarifying there. And one other comment about the Broadway dock access and circulation. You may have to rethink having a concave circle bus loading zone if a 40-foot bus in the middle has to leave and another take its place, would be difficult to navigate. So more for our engineering and planning team to consider there. Thank you. A question about the AMHS shared cruise dock concept, I believe, is will cars be able to load onto the ferry with a cruise ship in port if it is a shared use dock? So I hand that off to either Brad or maybe someone on the PDC team who worked on that concept.
Yeah, Brad, I can take that if you want, but that was the intent of the concept was to allow AMHS vehicles to stage and also load. That's why we kind of moved the circular drop-off zone to the north to avoid that conflict. But so hopefully that answers that question.
And let's see, some comments on the Aura dock here. Now the questions are coming in a little bit quick. So comment that it will be painful to see the ore dock empty for most of the summer, so why not utilize it like we have been doing for years? Additionally, another question, what is the plan for the current ore terminal facility and dock in conjunction with the AML and RoRo facility?
So the intent going into this was to separate industry from cruise ships, so in the long run was to have the Ore Peninsula not be the cruise ship facility, but instead be the ore or industry side of the dock and have more capacity east of that. So the Broadway dock, the Ferry Peninsula. It's not that we may never use the Ore Peninsula. That's still up for debate, but that was the intent going into this. There was a question. It was about the roll-on, roll-off for AML. Was it the plan of it? Sorry, can you still see that? I can't read it.
Yep. So what is the plan for the current ore terminal facility and dock in conjunction with the AML RoRo? So it's kind of wrapped into one question.
Conceptually, the AML move would be on the back half of the current ore facility, which is the concrete pad that's not being utilized, so not the building itself. We haven't gone down the road of what the ore building, condition it is in, or if it needs to be rebuilt to bring ore through Skagway or not. So I can't answer where that is because we haven't gone down that road yet.
All right. Is there a cost estimate for the new Ferry Peninsula dock? And what size vessels will be able to dock on the west side, or will it be exclusive to AMHS?
Currently, we don't have a cost estimate or really a size of vessel. You saw one that was drawn in there, but we're still working with AMHS on that and what it looks like, and so it's very preliminary right now.
All right, let's see, we have a few questions on Temsco. So curious if you'd like to address that.
Yep. Right now we have that area that Temsco is in is identified as industrial. The assembly's discussed this several times, and they continue to state that at the end of the lease, Temsco will no longer be down there. If that changes, then if there's a change in direction, then we would change that. But right now we have that slated as future industrial use.
We have a question about the status of Phase 3 of the harbor expansion. Any updates on the small boat harbor expansion?
I don't have any at this time.
All right. It looks like two more questions at this time, and then I think we'll probably switch over to those who've raised their hand or are on the phone. So... let's see, last two are, if you cannot accommodate a large class cruise ship at the new dock off the Ferry Peninsula, then will the ore dock continue to be used so that Skagway does not lose passenger traffic?
I think if we can't accommodate a larger ship off the Ferry Peninsula, then we will have to go back and look at the ore dock.
And then one comment here, the idea of a shoreline walk along the Ferry Peninsula will add to congestion at the AMHS Peninsula. So comment that we should consider that, and the walk should, cut off from that area. All right. So I guess now it's around 6:12. Let's switch over to anyone who has a... question on the phone line or who has raised their hand. So let me see who that is. All right, looks like we have Tom Cochran. So feel free to unmute and ask your question.
Yeah, hello. Yeah, I was just going to say, I think it's important to clarify that even though this is a pretty comprehensive plan, that the main thing we're looking at right now is phase one, and we have the grant money to do phase one. And phase one is that kind of the shoreline park and the utilities that will allow us to build a new restroom if we follow that up with phase 2A. So I think most people would probably support that, and that also allows the rest of this future development will take place, but it's very important, as Manager Ryan said, to get the majority of it. So I think that's the main thing that we want to focus on and get completed, and that we do have the funding for that. All this other stuff that's in the plan, we do not have funding for at this time. With that said, there's a few things, I don't want to get too far into some of that other stuff. I am concerned about the scale on some of the traffic flow. Because a lot of times it seems like it looks good on paper, but when it's actually in practice, it's way tight and the flow is not as efficient as it looks like, in reality. The other thing is the delineation between the tour side and the industrial side, there's specifically the staging area for Broadway where we're moving AML. That looks like a single use design, and I really think we need to look at a dual use design, because we should have the ability in the wintertime to fill that with containers and ore pots and whatever else. I mean, we've got to have an industrial component. I think 2020 has proved to us that we want to have the ability for diversification on a waterfront. Shelters for tourists are great, but they need walls. Anything without walls is kind of a waste of money down there because the wind blows all the time. The rest of that stuff, I think, as far as like the dock, the new dock design and whatnot, I don't know if we want to get too far into that at this point, and I don't want to take up all the time, so I'll hand it back to you guys. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you, Tom. Looks like we have Stuart Stevens with their hand up.
Hi, yeah, this is Stuart Stevens, Cruise Line Agencies. Yeah, I think Brad answered my main question or observation about, you said they're going to do simulations with the pilots and so forth to get, basically, mostly I'm worried about ships into Broadway, because I know, you know, they try to keep their sterns into the wind, which points them, basically, their stern, their path would come right at the end of the new dock. So they'd have to come in at a flatter angle, which, you know, of course, would catch more wind on the side. So as long as you got, you know, if you're going to do simulations and that sort of thing, you might be able to figure out if you're going to be having less capacity because of losing ships to wind or what have you. Also, I think any, being the security person, anything on the, like, the new dock, somehow you're going to have to keep passengers from the cruise ship and the passengers from AMHS separated with hard separation. Like, maybe, you know, have, like, AMHS goes down the right side and the cruise people come up and down the left side of any ramp that you have going down to the floats. But it's just something to keep in mind. That's all I had.
All right, thank you. Looks like we have Mike Corsmo up next. Feel free to unmute, ask your question or comment.
Hey, everybody, can you hear me?
Yep.
Can you hear me? Okay. Yeah, no, I think some of the plan parts are really good. I talked to Brad not too long ago, but the fact that we're using potentially the AML offloading facility off to the side. I'm not sure about the staging area stuff, but the fact that we'll have a ramp, a roll-on, roll-off ramp off to the, off the side of the barge like they do everywhere else, I think that's really, really a great idea. I mean, I know there's contamination and all those other things we got to deal with down there, and it's going to cost money to build that ramp over to the beach, but I think it's a really good idea. I've been thinking about the roll-on, roll-off thing for a while, and I thought for a long time that we should do it off the end of the Broadway dock and put a couple pilings on the Broadway dock on the seawall, but, you know, obviously the plans are changing. The other thing I really just want to talk about is, the number one priority when I was off the council, you know, I was on there for 13 years, but the number one priority was the expansion of the small boat harbor, so I really don't want to see you guys, you know, take that upland as part of the small boat harbor and expand it into, you know, I love the fact that we're going to try to expand the RV park. I think that's important. We need the staging area. Obviously, it's one of the most, successful parts of the harbor, actually, is the staging area. But please do not take that spending beach that we've got left and not allow for the boat harbor expansion, because in all the stuff we've looked at and all in the past, not only, you know, are we going to have potentially more RV traffic, but we're going to have more boat traffic. And we've all, you know, right now it's the pandemic. We're not getting the Canadians down here. But please do not stymie the expansion of the small boat harbor. I mean, it was the number one priority of the city when I got off there. And please do not, whatever you do, do not do that. Anyway, I like the plans. A lot of the plans are good. The seawall, seawalk thing, we were talking about that years ago. It's a great idea. You know, having green space between industrial part and everything else is awesome. And I think it's looking in a good direction. I mean, as far as stuff out towards the, Temsco area and stuff like that, I think that's down the road, obviously. And, you know, I would have comments about that, but it's obviously part of this plan. So anyway, thank you and nice work. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Mike. Looks like we have M. Pearson with their hand up next. Feel free to unmute.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. It's Mike Pearson. I'm with Coast Guard Sector June on Port Security Specialist, and I appreciate the opportunity to review the plan. I guess one of my questions is, I've heard some of the beautification elements discussed and safety regarding the one dividing area between the train, the small wall. But what's unclear is if any of these elements are looking at security. This is a unique opportunity in terms of modification to the uplands and the interface zone to appropriately expand so that you're capturing some security concerns and considering facility security assessment. So I'm just curious if that's incorporated in this assessment.
The talent plan. We can bring it over to the table,
then. Natalie, do you want me to address that?
Yes, please. And if anyone has their mic unmuted, please double check and mute that if you've got some background noise. Thanks.
Mike, we have not gotten into the security discussion yet. I think it will have to be addressed, but we haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I just, with the expenditure of a lot of funds with some of these improvements, I'd hate to see, you know, security be considered after the fact when it could actually be incorporated into part of the plan and sort of fit in more naturally rather than being slap together ugly thing afterwards.
Okay, thank you, Mike. And we have Mickey Lucchetti with their hand up. Go ahead and unmute and ask your question or comment.
Sure. Hey, this isn't Mickey. This is her husband, Peter. And hey, when they worked on the railroad dock, I was a little disappointed. I wasn't involved in the design state. I'm not mad at anybody. But it was sort of an opportunity to sort of, I don't know, portray the Boer Wharf or something to give it sort of a gold rushy flavor to it. And I noticed that some of your buildings, I really like the design elements that you have in there, and I could see where you'd want a mixture of them. But some of your buildings looked fairly plain, and I was wondering if there was a way to give them a facade that was more in flavor with the historic part of the town. Just a thought. Maybe you've already given it some thought. And I know that Broadway used to be the old Juno Wharf or whatever, but in some ways it's just a flavor thing. When I've been to places like Olympia, Washington, they've got sort of a similar flavor to what we have there on the Moore Dock. So it's sort of I think it's the way people converse visually today. But it seems like when you have a chance to give it a Gold Rush flavor, why not? It was just a thought of mine, but that's all I had to say.
All right, thanks, Peter. And I think I can address at least the beginning of that. I know a lot of our work so far has been pretty high level and conceptual, especially on the structures, so haven't really dove down quite yet into those details, but definitely something that will be considered going forward on our end for sure.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have, I don't see other hands raised right now. Are there others on the phone who have or would like to make a comment or a question on the phone line? Anyone else? All right, I'm not seeing anyone else with a comment or question at the moment. Wait, no, we got one. All right, Jeremy Jansen.
Hi, yeah, I'm just wondering if the intention is to not renew Temsco's lease down on the waterfront, are the base manager for Temsco's gone to the assembly and made it aware to them that we're unable to move to the airport. So I guess my question is, where, maybe this is a question for Brad, where do you envision Temsco moving to? And have you considered quality of life issues for citizens of Skagway if we're forced to move off of the waterfront and Temsco's aircraft are flying over town?
Jeremy, I have not. I mean, certainly there's been a lot of talk of where Temsco could be moved to in the community, but I think that's a decision if Temsco ultimately has to move off the waterfront that has to be made by the company. Obviously, it has to fit within planning and zoning of the community, but we are not planning where they would move to.
Sorry, maybe just a follow-up. Given the limited places we could go, like I said, have you considered the quality of life issues for people in Skagway if Temsco's aircraft are flying over town all day in the summer?
We certainly talk about it and consider it, but at this point, I took a proposal to the assembly to talk about an extension of a lease, and that was made clear that they weren't interested in it. So the plan is to move forward with that as is, unless there's a different direction from the assembly for me. So, I understand that there could be an impact to the quality of life if the helicopters were flying next to homes. But I'm also limited by what I have as a direction right now.
Great. Any other questions or comments on the phone line or in Teams? I'm not seeing any at this moment. Just want to remind everyone that additional comments and questions can be submitted to that email address, portofskagway@skagway.org. And right now we've got that going until March 10th. So feel free to submit additional comments there. And it looks like we're nearing 6:30 now. And so we've got our now virtual town hall starting at 7. So I would welcome everyone to log back in. It's going to be the same Teams event to view that. And any last comments from Brad or PDC team? Open it up. It looks like we may have some chat.
I do want to say, I want to encourage people to send your comments to the email address so that we can have them in writing and we can follow up on them. A written comment is worth a lot to us because we can then respond to you whether it's favorable or not. It's good to know where the community is at on the project, and hopefully we can at least consider the comments and have some response.
We do have, it looks like, three additional just comments and questions in the chat. Would be should we address those, Brad, before we wrap up?
Yeah.
All right. So a comment here that there's an effort being made to incorporate Tlingit names into many of Skagway signs. So please note that. And I guess I can speak to, we are coordinating, with MOS and are aware of that. Continuing to get updates on that project as well. Question here, how will you accommodate loading and unloading a ferry on the same dock and handle vehicle and pedestrian traffic when a cruise ship is in at the same time? So that would be at the AMHS and cruise shared dock. So there's a bottleneck for traffic leaving the ferry peninsula headed into town.
I think the short answer to that is there's a lot of design and traffic flow that still needs to be handled, especially with AMHS in mind. So we don't have that finalized, but that's something we're working towards with AMHS and right-of-way permits, and we'll have to work on traffic flow as well. I think Stuart made a good point that we'll have to have some separation on the dock facility as well for security reasons with the AMHS versus cruise ship passengers.
Another comment here about access and circulation, parking, loading, and unloading. So a lot of thought needs to go into the tour vehicle traffic flow, including parking, loading, and unloading. That should include interested parties, companies, etc. A new berth at the Ferry Peninsula seems like it will cause significant challenges in terms of accommodating access from all the players. Thank you for that. Yes. I think initially we did, talk to tour operators to get our initial concepts going, and I think it will important for us to check back in, as you say, at each round as we have updated concepts in that area. So we plan to do that. So it looks like we might be having an issue with the phones. Not sure if we have, it looks like we have phone users looped in here, but there might be an issue there. I can check on that in just a moment. Yes, hand a question over to Brad. Will there be a consideration of rail access to the Ferry Peninsula?
That's a good question, and I think we need to continue that conversation with White Pass, especially as we get down the road with AMHS and start to solidify some of the ideas down there. So I don't know the answer to that, but I think it's a good conversation to be had.
All right, I think we have enough time to finish up.
You guys hear me?
Yes. Who's this? Do we have someone on the phone line?
Kelly Healy from Temsco. This is Kelly from Temsco. Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you.
Okay, thank you. Having a little difficulty here. I would just like to point out, following up on what Brad had said, that you know, the issue of Temsco being at the waterfront has never been decided by the Assembly that it's not going to be that way. And after the last time we were talking to the Assembly about it, we were told that public comment in this process would be the way to move forward. So going along those lines, you know, Temsco has been a long-time business in this community, 35 years. We've been 20 years here at the waterfront. In the last 20 years, I estimate between 600 and 800 jobs have been provided by Temsco, and currently we're at 5 people working full time, and we don't want to hijack this meeting, but we do need to get it out there that we are in the best place for Skagway, and we would like to voice our concern in the lack of support in this plan for our use in its current location. We feel we've been an asset to this community, and we feel that this community has been very great to us as well, and we like to continue to stay here. So my question is, you know, how could we justify in a fiscal scenario that we're facing right now, taking an existing user, an existing business, and essentially wiping them off the map and going for some other more nebulous future use.
Kelly, I agree. The Assembly has not voted that Temsco won't be there. It has been the talk of the table that we'd go industrial at that end. I think your input here is valuable, and you know, eventually we'll have to put this plan in front of the Planning Commission and the Assembly, and they may say, we've heard this, let's put Temsco in that area. So that, you know, I understand where you're coming from. I just have been following up with what I believe is a division of the ports to go industrial versus tourism, and maybe this input will be heard, or maybe we want to put a request back in front of the Assembly again.
Thank you, Brad.
Okay, we have one last comment in the chat. In reference to the color scheme and logo ideas for wayfinding for the docks, for the railroad dock, using the color red and train tracks would feel more like a warning train than wayfinding for railroad dock. Important to consider that most cruise guests have no idea about the names of the docks, so that can be a struggle. So thank you for that comment there. See any other hands up? Looks like we don't have any other hands up, and
I'd like to just make a comment.
Yeah. Who is this?
this is Paul Rikerts.
Go ahead.
And just speaking as a citizen, I typed in a comment earlier, and just, you know, I'd like to reference what Brad kind of skimmed over at the beginning of the meeting, and that's the comments and the input that went into the conceptual plans that we have in front of us today. I know that the Chara took a lot of time to put together on your guys' end, and there was a lot of comment online, and a lot of people went in person, and you say that you talked to 30 port stakeholders, so over 100 people participated. And traditionally in Skagway, public input is how we do a lot of things. You know, we held up the comp plan this year so we could get out a new questionnaire. So we take that public comment and input very, very seriously. So I'd like to know when we can see it, because I'd like to know how that's represented in the plans that we have today in front of us. So just looking for, you know, if that those comments were submitted to the MOS, and if so, when could we see them? I'm sure they're just in document form, but I know a lot of other people would like to see them as well. So just an observation that, you know, this is, I know that there's been a lot of talk of making this a public process moving forward, but it seems like the public process started quite a while back. So I'd just like to see more transparency throughout the process. And, you know, this is a community effort. So, yeah, just a little bit more transparency. And that's all I've got to say.
Okay, thank you.
Paul, I'll say we have a summary of the comments. It's a long document that summarizes all the comments and tries to group them into the categories.
Is the camera on?
I don't know that we thought about just making it public, but I suppose there's a possibility in that.
Great.
Yeah, thanks, Brad. Appreciate it.
Sorry. I see someone has their hand up. Tyler Rose, if you'd like to unmute.
Yes, thank you, Natalie. I was just wondering, how does adding the new ferry/cruise dock set up the community for future cruise demand if we see larger ships deployed to Alaska, along with added capacity in other Southeast Alaska ports like Ketchikan? If the Ordock is dedicated to industrial use only, are we in the same situation with the current 4-berth limitations, or do we want to create that as a potential for growth in the future?
Yeah, Tyler, I mean, obviously you're spot on. If we're going to grow, we'll need even more capacity. So I think that's up to the community. If they want to grow more and have another cruise ship berth on the ore facility, we'd like to hear it. We went into this hearing that we're separating industrial from cruise, but if we want to go, and I know there's been some comments about having yet another berth in addition, and just we need to hear those kind of inputs.
Thank you, Brad. I just think it's a good discussion point for everyone to hear and to share and see what direction we want to go collectively. Thank you.
All right, so I think we're going to wrap up around 6:45. We have a few more comments in the chat. So we have three comments supporting what Mr. Kelly Healy had said on Temsco. Actually, four. So referencing the former location and how that did cause some issues. And current location being best. We have a question. If the ore dock is designated industrial, does that mean that it is no longer available for passenger vessels?
I believe that was the intent going into this, but again, I think we need to hear the input from the community.
And then two more comments related to Temsco. Temsco is an industrial business that happens to hold people at times. And more agreement that, one more comment agreeing that Temsco is in its best location. Let's see. One more question, I believe, about ore dock. Is the move to avoid docking at ore about avoiding scheduling conflicts with industrial? Or, let's see. Or because of the ore basin remediation situation causing upgrades to be impossible?
It was about conflicts, not the remediation.
I guess last call on any questions from the phone lines, any last chat comments before we wrap up here. Let's see, will this meeting's comments be available to public in document form, or is it just the audio? So I know for sure we will have all of this recorded in the audio form. And I am going to see if we can also get the chat comments out of here as well. I believe I should be able to do that afterwards. So thank you. And one last hand raised, Mr. Tom Cochran.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to say for just a comment for clarification. In 2019, we started to see the conflicts in the ore basin. One cruise ship did not dock on a scheduled docking because a barge at the ore dock, and another time a cruise vessel came in and there was a fuel barge that was in the process of unloading fuel, and they had to stop, cease their offloading operations, depart from the ore dock, go out into the bay while the cruise vessel docked. And they were not allowed to come back in and dock until that cruise vessel had left. So there were two examples of conflict, and 2019 was probably the busiest schedule that we had ever in scheduling. So that's only going to increase if the cruise industry continues on the path that it's on. So that's kind of where a lot of this is coming from. To free up that and avoid those conflicts. We need our AML bars, you know, we need our food, we need our fuel. We can't be so busy with cruise vessels that those are not allowed to come into our community. So that's a big part of the push to separate industrial from tourism side, as well as to hopefully enhance industrial side to create more jobs and diversify our economy. As far as temps goes, I don't think anyone's kicking them out. I think they're just throwing some conceptuals down there. I understand their feelings on that, but if the lease was to not be renewed in the future, I'm sure there would be plenty of time for any contingency planning on their part to take effect. So let's keep that in mind. Anyway, thank you very much.
All right, thank you. So we do have just three more comments in the chat that I'd like to at least get out there on the recording, and then I think we are going to wrap up and give everyone a break before we jump back in at 7 for the town hall. So a comment, let's keep our Canadian friends in mind. We need diversification on the waterfront and room for industrial use. And another comment, I appreciate seeing the Clinkett design on the signs. I am sorry if this has already been discussed, but some of the docks could be renamed to make tribute to the Indigenous population. And our last comment here is, we need to preserve an area for industrial so shippers will see that Skagway is an option to them. That said, we should be flexible. All right. So Brad, I'll turn it back over to you if you have any last words, but I think we should probably wrap up, have a break before 7 p.m. For the town hall with Mayor Kamada.
I would just say thanks again for all the input, and hopefully we can stay tuned for the next round and continue the development of this port project.
Thanks, everyone. So regroup, and I believe we'll be back here at 7 with the mayor.
Okay. Thanks, Natalie and Brad, and everyone for participating.
Thank you.
Good job. Thanks.